beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is he, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory,
he is the great I am,
the Alpha and Omega, the beginning. The prince.
He's the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father.
He's God.
Oh, he's God. He's greater.
thankful that that he's shown an interest in us. Jesus asked his disciples, he said that he asked them, who do men say that I am? And they gave him several different answers, you know, like he was one of the prophets, and I don't know, one of them might have said he was Elisha or some of the older prophets, but then he turned around and asked them, well, who do you say that I am? You know, he kind of got personal with his disciples, and we can say a lot of things about Jesus, but we need to, you know, have that kind of revelation. Peter told him that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, you know, we have to know that ourselves. You know, we don't, I like what other people say about him. You know, we had that good video that was shown during the youth meeting and before. And, you know, those are great things to say about Jesus. But I want to have that revelation myself. You know, I want to be able to say that he's my Lord and my Savior. And he is. And that's what I want to declare tonight. You know, he's my Savior, my Lord. He's helped me. He's shown me and given me a revelation about his kingdom. You know, Brother Smith already told us, you know, that God has got a kingdom that he's working on. And that we get to be a part of it. You know, it's not my kingdom. I just get to be a part of it. I'm thankful that I can take part in it. Sometimes, you know, you get involved with things and you'll say, well, you know, you get concerned about, you know, what's in this for me, you know. And sometimes you get kind of in a selfish attitude about things and looking for everything, you know, for myself, whereas God is wanting us to let him, you know, just turn it loose and let God work in our lives. And that's what we're working on. It's an endeavor, though. It's not something you just think about doing and overnight you got it. But anyway, it's an endeavor. We have to do this as the Lord permits and also as God show us. You know, he's showing us the way. So it's not like he's shown us the way, but he's showing us the way. So we have to get this as the Lord gives it to us. And I think that scripture Brother Smith used one time saying that the secret things belong to the Lord. But those things that he has revealed, you know, those are things that when God give you a revelation, then you got that. You know, it belongs to us. Brother Painter was using a script in the fifth chapter of Romans about faith we're justified. That's how we get justified. It's through faith. And but it's in Hebrew it talks about faith being a substance of things hoped for and things not seen. And I was thinking, you know, we have to have that. You know, in our, that's not, you can have substance out here in the natural, but spiritually you can have, that's the spiritual substance that you can have. It's faith. And that's what we need. But once you get that, see, that's what I'm saying, that's something that you have, you know, have possession of. It's the substance of God that he's given us. And that's what I want to, if I can do anything to try to increase the things that God has given us. You know, we have some faith, but we want to increase our faith, to have more faith. You know, while we're praying for Sister Inez, I was looking at that scripture where Hezekiah, you know, when God told him, sent a prophet to him and told him that he had to need to get his house in order because he was going to die. You know, Hezekiah, you know, I don't feel like he was selfish. He started talking to God and told God, you know, that, Lord, I walk before you in truth and with a perfect heart. You know, he told that to God. He reminded God that he has walked with him in truth and a perfect heart. And he said that I've always been, I think he said, been good in your sight, you know, in God's sight. Hezekiah, you know, he reminded God of the things that, and I was thinking when I began to think about Sister Watson praying for her, you know, I was thinking, you know, I can't think of any more faithful person, you know, in this church. But anyway, that's what I was saying. Well, God, I can just remind you, you know, of a faithful person. This person's been faithful, Lord. And that's what I was thinking about Hezekiah. He brought this to God. He reminded God. You know, he wasn't really, evidently he was. He was had a perfect heart toward God. And Brother Smith had been telling us some things about different ones in the Bible and Old Testament that had a perfect heart. That God said they was perfect, like Job. His heart was perfect toward God in his dispensation, in his time that he was living. And that's what I was thinking, you know, that why not remind God, you know, about people, you know? I mean, why not? That's what he did. In doing so, you know, he turned his face to the wall and began to pray. And God heard him and gave him some more time, didn't he? And that's what I think about that, you know, when you begin to pray for people and especially, you know, people that, you know, like I say, you can't bargain, but I guess Hezekiah was doing was kind of bargaining with God some, but you got to have the goods, though, what I'm saying. When you begin to bargain with God, you know, you got to have the life to back it up. So, but anyway, that's kind of my thoughts being, you know, with Sister Inez, you know, when I began to pray to God in her behalf, is think about her faithfulness. And I don't know, you know, I'm just like Brother Smith on that, you know, accepting whatever God's will is for, you know, in that area. But I still don't want to give up. I don't want to slack the reins, you know, not do what is possible. You know, I don't know. You know, I know you can't do it anymore than God allow you to do, but you can talk to him. You know, you can petition God. You know, you can petition him. And that's what I appreciate about God. You know, he may not answer our every prayer. He may not every whim that we have, every feeling that we have about things. But let's go before him. I was thinking about David as well when this child that was born out of wedlock. But anyway, while that baby was living, David was on his face before the Lord. And he made a statement when he sensed that his servants, he could tell something, you know, he felt like, you know, the baby had died. So when he got up from his praying and fasting, and they were asking him why did he was fasting, and all of a sudden now he's ready to eat. So he was saying that who knows, you know, that God's, I was trying to say, remember his words, somebody, God's grace or he's gracious. Who knows that God would have been gracious? You know, he knew God could have done that. And that's why he held on to that. He knew who he was praying to. A God that is able and that can. Although he didn't, but he could. And that's why, you know, you have to, you know, you don't want to give up with God. You don't want to think that it's not possible, because it is. It is possible with God, all things. This scripture, we stopped by Jackson, Tennessee on the way back from the campground, and the folks from Brownsville, Texas, used the scripture in Jeremiah, where they said that there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard. Like we say that God can do anything with anything. So, you know, there's nothing. There's no impossibilities, and there's no saying that, you know, he can't do it. You know, it's just the possibilities are there. And I'm just so thankful tonight that we are here to lift up Jesus and to say that he's our Lord, he's our Savior, and he's given us life and a chance to live again. You know, not just this natural life, but he's given us a chance to have eternal life beyond what we see here in the natural. We got a chance to have an opportunity. I used to have a boss. He was, you know, talk about problem. When we have a problem, he always said that they're not problem, they're opportunities. They're opportunities. And I think if you use that in that idea or that thought, you know, with God, then that's what it is. It's opportunities with God. You know, they are, in the natural, they are problems. But when it come spiritually thinking and with God, it's an opportunity, you know, and that's why I want to look at it. I want to be able to believe God. I don't want to, who was it that said about help my unbelief, you know. We believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. You know, if I got any unbelief in there, help me, Lord, to not have that. So I want to, brother, he's not living now, Brother Bass, one time, he impressed me. He was telling us about him being in the hospital with this, I can't remember what kind of, it's kind of like a cancer, I think, what he had. But anyway, he was in the hospital, and he didn't want anybody to come into his hospital room if they was negative, you know. Just tell them, no, we can come in here, you know, if they're negative. But anyway, God did help him with that. He I don't know if he got a healing, but anyway, he got better. I think he might have gotten, somebody told me later that like this stem cell, it was kind of experimental thing at the time. But anyway, they treated him, and he did get better. But anyway, we was at this campground, and we was parked and around there where the bathrooms are out there on this gravel area. But we were blocked in. We didn't think we could get out. We was gonna go back to the motel, and we walked out of the car, and I told my wife, I said, we're not gonna be able to get out of here. I don't know, you don't know who the cars belong to, so they were all out there. But anyway, he happened to be out there, and he said, Brother Tyler, you can get out of here. I said, how are you gonna get out of here? Well, we're cars all around. He said, yeah, you can get out of here. You can get out. He said, I helped you. You get out. So anyway, he kept saying, you can get out of here. You can. I'll help you get out. See, I couldn't. You can only see so far from the driver's seat, you know, behind you. You can't see how close you are to the next car's bumper. But anyway, my wife wouldn't ride with me. She got out of the car, and she said, if you're gonna do that, I'm getting out. You know, she got out. But you know what? He helped me. And he kept, I eased up a little bit this way. I go this little bit this way. And he got me out of there. I mean, that man got me out. He said, I told you could get out of here. I couldn't believe it. I said, no. But he did. He kept working. He said, pull up this way a little bit. Then pull back this way. And I kept doing that until I got out. Then she gets back in the car with me. But anyway, he increased my faith. I'm telling you. I didn't think I could get out of there. I'm just telling you, I didn't even try until he told me that you can get out. And he proved it. I got out. God, you know, that's what it is. We have to sometimes just step out on faith. You know, sometimes if things look impossible, saying, no, you can't do that. No. But believe God. I want to believe God. I want to put my faith in the Lord and lift him up, you know, and give him praise. If I know that anything with him is possible. Anything is possible with God. So anyway, I'm thankful tonight to be here. I'm just so happy, you know, we got through the youth meeting and everything, I guess, went well. But anyway, we got through it and we made it. I hope everything went well. So anyway, I'm just happy to be here tonight. God bless you.
Not believing in God, I wasn't believing in Brother Bad. I had two eyes and I could see that car. In front and on the cars on the side and car in the back, and then what was my life to go? So I don't care. And Brother Bad's the way he had him going up and back. It was ridiculous. But anyway, like I said, he got out. I got back in the car, like I said, but I wasn't going to be in the car while he's hitting somebody else's car. But it worked. And his sister, Lynette, when you sing that song, that look on your face was, it was as though your mind was saying, the greatest, but he had a time to look at me, and I could just read your mind. I could just see it all in your face. I'd just go ahead and say it, Sister Lynette. Just testify. Just stop and tell him that's what you're thinking, because that's what I was thinking. He's God. He's the Almighty God, the Father of Jesus, and then that Jesus, the Lord that came down and died on the cross, crucified for my sins. He's God and his son, Jesus, and they took an interest in me. Lower than the dirt. You know, they say it's so low that you're looking up at the bottom. And knowing, sinful and undone, he said, you can make it. Just like Brother Bass said, Brother Tanner could get out of that little hole that I didn't believe he could get out of. God looked down on me. He said, you can make it. So I hope I'm not an unbeliever in that part, because I believe I can make it. He has given me the opportunity, and I'm striving. He's given me his word, and he's greater than anything I know anything about. Greater than any mountain. What is it? Greater than any sea? God is greater than anything. But he's taken an interest in me. He's the greatest, and I just wanted to say thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for taking an interest in me.
Give the Lord a praise tonight. I was just thinking this morning, it's been a while since I've got up and talked, but I thought, and the Lord's been so good, and he's answered prayer, like Brother Tally was talking about. This morning, I was just, you know, I kind of have a little time to myself in the mornings. So I talked to the Lord and listened to encouraging things on the radio, but I was just thinking, I thought, you know, I really do owe the Lord a praise and a thanks just for answering a prayer. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, my little problems or things that I go through are so small. But and sometimes it takes me to literally get down on my face and pray and get to that, you know, okay, it's on the altar, I give up. I'm going to quit trying to fix this. You know, and God just comes through every time, and, you know, I needed a miracle and he performed one, and I'm so thankful for him to just prove himself to me over and over and over again. And I just appreciate him so much for what he's done in my life, and I wanted to see all the open doors that he has for me. I want to receive the blessings that he has for me. And I heard somebody say, you know, sometimes you can hold on to so many things, so many, you know, things of baggage from the past that are holding on to a grudge of this, or this happened to me, or I had a bad childhood, or that happened to me. You know, I'm so, you know, juggling everything of all of those, you know, bad things I won't let go of that I can't receive what God has for me, you know. And he may have this huge blessing, and I can't let go of all these little bags of things, you know. And I want to be able to do that and get free and just receive, you know, just open up my heart and say, God, here I am. I want to receive what you have for me. And I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. And I just wanted to give him a praise. I really just appreciate him so much.
Anybody that knows me for any length of time, if you were to look inside of me, I look like a Tinker toy set. And the doctors have spent more time inside of me than out. And I'm somewhat of a mixed-up character. They had to do a DNA test to check and see what medications worked for me and what worked against me. And finally got things sort of straightened out. And this last 6 months have been a very trying 6 months. The doctor changed medications on me and really messed things up. And I had to get off and get back and work myself around. I'm to the point now where I'm doing physical therapy with a man that's got golden hands and a $1 million smile. This man can just, I can be hurting to a point where medication doesn't work. And he can just work it around and I'm ready to go again. Well, I've been able to get down on my medications to a point of minimal. And I got up this morning, I went, took a shower, fell on the sofa, and went back to sleep, and had a spiritual dream. I haven't had one for several months, and I'm accustomed to having one every, few months that are very beneficial to me. And the one this morning, it was dark. I was working with children, there was a minimal amount of people, and all at once, somebody said they're coming up on the parking lot, and there was just bunches of cars pulling in, people walking in, people we didn't know. And the last thing I heard was, "Look up, the Lord draweth nigh." And I mean, it's made my day so complete. I went and had physical therapy. I feel like a wonderful person now. I don't have my ills that I'm carrying around. And things are getting better. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Things are getting better, and it is a walk of faith to believe that things are going to get better, and of course we still lack understanding with Sister Inez's situation and others. There's others that are afflicted and sick, and it's troubling. There's no doubt about it. And I know there's people even in this congregation tonight that are carrying aches and pains. Some of them may not be fatal or terminal, but they're still real and they still affect us. I thought Brother Green, in our youth meeting, Brother Gary Green, I was reminded of a statement that he made about, I'm careful to say this because I don't mean to cast dispersion, but he was talking about how that he had gotten injured and how he is having to deal with his pain medications and the things that he had to go through to wean himself off of that, those medications. And, the world we live in, Jesus He told his disciples in the book of John, he told them, he said, the prince of the world cometh and he find nothing in me. And we live in a world where we live in a world that's full of condemnation, and there's a lot of fingers that point, you know, at people, and there's a lot of there's a lot of accusation that's cast upon people. Just something so simple, that a person may do, and the next thing you know, you've been accused of, you know, a great crime or a crime against humanity or something like that. We live in a world where it's as though everybody is on pins and needles and just sitting on a razor's edge and just worried at what moment is somebody gonna, you know, ridicule me or paint me in a light that makes me, you know, carry around this big old, you know, bag of guilt. And it's a shame, really, as a society that I don't mean to condemn y'all, but as including you with me, it's a shame as a society as a whole that we ridicule people. We cast the baby out with the bathwater. And we don't recognize that people are people. And people have all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of emotional disturbances. There's all kinds of medical conditions. There's, you know, things that we inherit, you know, from our bloodlines. I was on my job just recently, and this person was making fun of somebody. They were making fun of, how can I say this? They were making fun of a person's appearance. What's the matter? Did you inherit that from your family, from your mom and dad? And they, you know, they were making a joke about that. And I said, you know, in certain circles, that wouldn't be very funny. I said, we live in a society today where there's a lot of kids, they don't even know their parents. I don't. If you were to ask me about the genetics of my father's family, I couldn't tell you. I don't know the first thing about them. I don't know their heart conditions. I don't know their health care. They may have all been crazy. You know, I don't know. It's a possibility, you know. I think Gladys thinks that sometimes they were all crazy, or maybe I got it on both sides. I'm not sure. But we live in a world where there's so many children that are born, you know, they never meet their father. So there's things that we can be so insensitive about and hammered, you know, and make comments and statements and things that make a person feel diminished. And I was thinking, as Sister Cindy was testifying, and even as also as Brother Talley was testifying, talking to us here, sometimes the very thing that we need is we need somebody to believe in us. We need to know that somebody believes that I can make it. Do you know, you take a child and put them on a bicycle, for example. You ever taught a child how to ride a bicycle? It's intimidating, you know, and they're scared, and the person that's teaching them's scared because you're afraid they're going to fall over, skin their knee, skin up their elbow, hit their head, you know. And so you put them on training wheels, and you get them going, and I know some of you went through this last week, and it's okay. The training wheels have come off, and you'll be fine. No, I'm just kidding. I was thinking about Joe, and right, no, I'm just kidding, Brother Joe. But isn't it amazing when you can just, when somebody gets a little experience behind them and to hear that encouragement, come on, you can make it. You ever been to, whether it's t-ball game or swimming or something like that, and you can just see the confidence begin to grow in a person's heart, and they know that they can make it. And it seems to me that there's times where, as a church, we really help each other in that regard. And, you know, that's why I do. I highly value our testimonies and songs like Sister Lynette was singing, that He's God. He's the greatest of greatest. And, you know, I'll tell you the latest, that He's taken an interest in me. He spoke out of heaven, hey, you can make it. Sometimes what we need to understand and we need to remind ourselves of is that God believes in us. I was thinking about that today and how I think about the things like this sometimes, how that if we're not careful, we'll feel like we're God's enemy. Here we carry around this baggage, this burden of sin, that you know, these things that trouble us on a daily basis. We carry these things around and we feel like that God is looking down upon us with thunder, you know, lightning bolts in each hand, just waiting to strike us down for just the next mistake. Come on, I dare you. Just make that next mistake, and it's over for you. You know, and there's times where we feel that way. We feel so condemned, so scrutinized, like, oh, if, you know, God, you know, like, have you ever seen a dog that's been whooped? Well, you whoop a dog too much, and you may try to give it a treat. And that dog's still going to recoil because it's been whooped so much it can't tell the difference between something that's good and something that's bad. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in a frame of mind where God may have something good for us, but we've conditioned ourselves, or circumstances may have caused that, or whatever, you know, whoever we're listening to. You know, I got to tell you, don't let your ear become a garbage can. Don't let your ear, you know, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. And don't let your phone, you know, become a connection between you and somebody vomiting, you know, word vomit all over you to where you can't have any confidence in nothing or nobody. I'm going to tell you tonight, the world may fall apart. You know, like that song said, what if kingdoms crumble down? What if this world be destroyed? I'm going to tell you, God is on the throne tonight. Hallelujah. And He believes in you. Praise God. He believes in each and every one of us. So that's my point there in saying that, is that even those times when you feel like your life is just a mired mess of condemnation, you're still not God's enemy necessarily. Now, if you go out and you start working iniquity and you start, you know, Jesus told His disciples, this guy was an enemy. He said, and I mentioned this the other night, He said, if you offend one of these, my little ones. Now, if you start offending God's people and His work, then you become His enemy. I'm not talking about that kind of person. But if you're sitting here tonight and you're wrestling with, you know, crucifying the old man and his deeds, and your heart's desire is to please the Lord, you're not His enemy tonight. You're His friend. Praise God, and He believes in you. In fact, He believes so much in you that He gave His life on Calvary. And He gave a gift, a wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And He's given the Word of God. And He's preserved it all through this time that we've been through, these 2,000 years since He walked in shoe leather. He's preserved these words of encouragement for us. Thank God, because He believes in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. So take confidence tonight. Let your faith grow that God loves you tonight. And that He's not going to withhold any good thing from you. He has His reward. He carries His reward with Him. He has it for us. Praise God. And so whether we obtain that reward in this life or the life to come, that's our hope. Jesus was walking down the road, and there was a blind man, the 9th chapter of John. And this man was there, and the disciples asked Him. He said, you know, look at this man. John 9, He said, Jesus passed by and He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And so isn't that interesting? That's human nature, naturally. We look at somebody. If you'd have looked at me growing up, you know, I tell you things about myself because that's what we do. That's how we get to know each other a little easier. That's how I relate. That's why I value your testimonies. And you know, I want you to understand that, you know, it's my desire to hear you give your testimony. And I have no desire to take any time that's your time and the Lord's time. I do treasure what you have to say. And so growing up as a little kid, somebody look at me. When I was 5 years old, I got my name changed. You know, I say these things. My mother's not here, and none of the rest of my family aren't here. And I don't mean this to cast a dispersion on them. It's just the way life is, okay? So I hope it's not offensive as I tell you about it. But I was 5 years old, and I never got my birth father's name, and so I was given my mother's name from her first marriage, so they decided that it was a good thing just to change my name. they rewrote my middle name and my last name. And so, you know, as a five-year-old kid, they asked me, so, you know, do you want your name changed? What do I know? You know, it's like, sure. You know, do I have a choice in the matter? No, not really. But so, you know, here I go in. I grow up 5 years old. I would go to the same church. All these people, I start kindergarten. These kids are looking at me. I got a different name today than I did yesterday. You know, Brother Talley, if somebody look at me like that and think, well, this kid ain't going to amount to nothing. Comes up in a broken home. It comes up in a situation that's, you know, impoverished, house full of kids, you know, and, you know, in a situation that may or may not be perfect, Brother Daniels. They may look at me and they may just, you know, well, you just go on over here with this group of people and just kind of, you know, brush me to the side. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the way society works. That's the way humanity works. And that's just like this man. They said, you know, who, this man was born blind. Who sinned? His mother, his father. And Jesus, he's like, who sinned? You know, he's just born blind. Some people got blonde hair. Some people got brown. Some people got blue eyes. Some people have green or brown eyes. It's just the way life is. There's no explaining some things. I'm going to tell you today, there's some things that can't be explained. Maybe God could maybe, you know, he could take a pencil and write it across the sky, all of our, you know, historical references and genealogical pinpoints and, you know, how we got this and how we got to here and there. But what difference does it make? I'm going to tell you, today is a day of our salvation. The circumstance that you're setting in today is a circumstance that God wants to save you from, thank God. It's this moment that we find ourselves today is a day of our salvation. Praise God. Whether we're young or old, hallelujah. Whether we're rich or we're poor, we're still setting here today the reality of our circumstances. God wants to save us. He wants to give us life eternal. And so, Jesus said, you know, what difference does it make? He said, let God be glorified. Can you accept that in your life today? Can you accept your circumstance today? Consider yourself here and where you're sitting. And what you're, you know, whatever burden you're carrying today. Whatever sorrow, whatever troubles your soul. Whatever canker sore that is eating away at your confidence in God, can you accept that whatever it is, I don't care just as long as God gets the glory. Let God be glorified. Let God be glorified. God, whatever deliverance comes from you, let it be for your glory. That's what he said, what difference does it make that this man's blind? Let God be glorified. And the Bible says that he reached down, he spit, you know, in the dirt, and he wiped some mud on that man's eyes. You know, it's going to take humility. Sister Cindy said, you got to turn loose. You got to surrender. You got to open them hands. You got to open your mouth. You got to open your heart to receive what the Lord has for us. He said he reached down his hands. Let's see here. He said in the fourth verse, he said, I must work the work of him that sent me. What, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he was coming to do that, and he made clay. He wiped it on the man's eyes, and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Of course, we know that he did that, and the man was made to see again, and And the people came along and they saw that this guy was blind, but now he can see. You know, and it's amazing. The world's full of condemnation. So here's a guy that was blind and now can see. And now the people are like, what happened? He said, this man Jesus, he healed me on the Sabbath day. Oh my God. He did what on the Sabbath day? Yeah, he healed me. And of course, then the Jews, they got mad and they wanted to stone him and stone Jesus. And they went and got this guy's parents and said, you know, and they said, did this happen? They said, well, I don't know. I asked Mama. Mama said, I don't know. I asked my son. He's old enough to answer for himself. Because they were afraid they're going to get thrown out of the temple. And sure enough, the guy did get thrown out. Isn't that something? You got a walking, talking, breathing, living miracle, and they threw him out. You know, if we're not careful, we'll do that. We'll dismiss somebody. I always think about Brother Gary Ivey, and I know Brother Ivey had his moments, and I admire Brother Weiniger and the patience that he had with him. We could have threw him out, Brother Weiniger, but we didn't. And God, I often think about that. Here we've got another brother that's living in a circumstance not as bad but similar, and we need to uphold our brothers and sisters in their time of need. And so, and I say that because they're miracles to us. If God touched us, if God's touched you and you're sitting here today, you're a miracle. God, you're not here by chance. You're here because God led you here, same as I am. And so, you know, the Pharisees, they got mad at Jesus and they wanted to stone him. And they got mad at the guy for getting healed. I mean, that's unbelievable to me, but they did. And they called Jesus a sinner, and they're sitting there arguing amongst themselves. So how could this man be a sinner and then turn around and heal a guy? God doesn't work with people like that. And so they all got mad at Jesus, and they threw the guy out of the tabernacle. Jesus, he was in a moment of rejection. And so he, if you will allow me to say, he doubled down on his commitment to his disciples. In the 10th chapter, he said, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And as we were singing that song tonight, the band song All Hail King Jesus. As we were singing and playing these songs tonight, the reference here is that Jesus is the King. He is the way. And he told his disciples, I think in the 15th chapter of John, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, but he told them here in John 10, he said, if any man try to come any other way, he's taking a glory that doesn't belong to him. He's taking an honor, a position. He's taking a path that makes him a thief and a liar. What does that scripture say? Let God be true and all men be liars. God is true tonight. And Jesus, he told him, he said, if any man come any other way, he said, let him be. He's a thief, the same as a thief and a liar. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd. He that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth them his own. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And he putteth forth his own sheep. He goeth before them, and they follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from a stranger or from him, for they will not know the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus, Verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture. You know, I read that part there where it said, and find pasture. And in my mind, I could just envision a flock of sheep out on a meadow somewhere, relaxed, grazing, sun shining on them, peaceful, just a peaceful setting. Find pasture. That's what we're trying to do. Look, the world's crazy. We've got people that, you know, we got on one end of the spectrum, one guy says a four-line sentence, or a four-word sentence, and he's hung out to dry. Then on the other side of the spectrum, you got people that just go on and on and on and on and on and on, and no one ever says a word to them. The world's crazy. They get offended over a word. They get offended. You look at somebody wrong and they get offended. You look at somebody wrong at a gas station or going down a road, you might find yourself in a fit of rage or trouble if we're not careful. The world's gone crazy. I'm going to tell you tonight, what I want to find, though, is some pasture. I want to find a place where I can rest in the shelter of the shepherd. Jesus, he told his disciples, he said, if anybody tries to come any other way, he said, they're a stranger. There's no peace. What's that bumper sticker? No Jesus, N-O, no Jesus, N-O, no peace. And then K-N-O, no Jesus, K-N-O, no peace. That's a good bumper sticker. There's no peace outside of Jesus Christ tonight. And he, of course, he was affirming his commitment to his disciples. He was letting them know that he believed in them. He was letting them know, look, I'm your shepherd. I'm your door to life eternal. He said, look, these Pharisees, they didn't believe in me. They don't believe in me. This man's parents, they know their son was blind from birth. And they know today, they see this man and he's healed from his blindness. And they still don't believe in me. He said, look, believe in me. I'm your shepherd. I believe in you. I'll lead you. So he told him, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then he went on and he described a hireling and how a hireling will flee when a wolf comes. Everybody knows what a hireling is, right? A hireling is somebody who is hired to watch over you. We're not talking about somebody. Jesus isn't that kind of person. He's not hired to watch over us. He does it because he loves us. The same as a parent loves their child and they watch over their children. It's not because, you know, I'm getting rich over having kids. That's a joke, by the way. No, they're breaking me. They broke me a long time ago. I'm not a hireling when it comes to being a parent. I love my children, and I believe in my heart that I would go, I don't know how far I would go. I'm glad I don't know that limit. I don't ever want to find out that limit, if you know what I mean. But Jesus said, he said, I am the good shepherd. He said, in the 14th verse, now read this a minute. He said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of my sheep. He knows us tonight. There's not anything hidden from him. There's not one thing in your life that he doesn't know about. There's not one deficiency, not one weakness, not one, you know, error, not one frustration. There's not one thing that he doesn't know about. But he still believes in us. Now, it wasn't, you know, we know that We know that God believed in Jesus. And this is what caught my attention when I was going through this passage. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he went on to say, other sheep have I have, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Well, the Jews got mad at him. They got really mad at him because he said that he was, they said, well, you say you're a God. And then he went on telling them, well, even your own commandments say, you know, that you guys are gods. And why are you offended if I say I'm the Son of God? They got really mad. You know, the thing about it, Brother Durham, is if I have a confidence that I'm a child of God, this world out here is going to get mad at me. If you tell somebody, look, you know, let the world come to a standstill. My life is hid with Christ, and come what may, I'm still going to be saved. That makes people mad. So, well, who do you think you are? Well, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm going to tell you something. God believes in me. Now, look, the thing about it is, and this is to me is an illustration of where the person comes in at the 11th hour. You say, well, who do you think you are? Well, I'm a child of the Most High God. And then somebody comes at the 11th hour and say, well, can I be too? Sure you can. Sure you can. He gave his life for humanity. He said, other sheep have I that are not of this fold. Let them come, and we'll all be of one fold, one shepherd. Well, the Jews got mad at him, and they tried to stone. They wanted to stone him. And Jesus, you know, he tried his best to explain it, but they wouldn't hear him. He said, and so he asked them, he said, if you don't believe my words, he said, believe on my works. Brother Daniels, they wouldn't even believe that. You know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do good works, because we should. But don't expect the world to be impressed because you're a Christian. Should I say that again? Don't expect the world to be impressed because you're acting like a Christian. Because they're not. In fact, they'll just despise you more. Now, whether we have, you know, miracles and healings and things like that remains to be seen. We have had healings. We have had people delivered. I'm a living testimony of having my life cleaned up, being delivered from, you know, it wasn't extensive, but it was there as a young teenage boy of drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and other things. We heard Brother Green talk about how that God helped him work through that medication addiction. I think that's the word he used. If I mischaracterize that, I don't intend to. He was pretty explicit, though, when he described it here in our youth meeting, I think it was Saturday morning. We live in a society where what we consider to be, I think we undervalue the things that God does for us, and they truly are miracles. They deliver us. God has delivered us from a lot of things, you know, and what's that old song? I can't remember all the words to it, but talking about a man coming home and his little boy hiding behind the door. He said, son, you don't have to be afraid. I'm not that man anymore. Because he used to beat his kids. And then he got saved. You know, people can change. People can change. Let's believe in somebody. I challenge you to find somebody in your life and believe in him. You know, I'm not encouraging it to pick the most, you know, impossible person on the planet. Although, if that's, you know, but be led. Be led by God. Find somebody and let them know that you believe in them. You believe that God loves them and that they can make a change in their life. I was working with this gal one time. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. This lady. I was working with this lady one time, and her husband were in Splitsville. They had two kids. And I'm, you know, growing up, like I did, I gave a little bit of my history. I'm pretty sensitive to stuff like that. And so I was encouraging her. I said, look, you and your husband, you need to work it out. You need to work this out for your children's sake. And because there's nothing better than having mom and dad to turn to. And, you know, kiss mom and dad goodnight. And so I began to talk. So y'all need to go to church. You need to find a church to go to that is centered on your children's growth. I said, and don't be worrying so much about you and your husband. I said, if you'll focus, if you'll put your affection and your attention in God, in them growing up in God, I said, for you two, it'll work out. You know, they did that. They found a church. Those kids started going to Sunday school. They started finding out there's other people who love God besides mom and dad. They started, and then mom and dad got involved. Next thing I know, they've got back together. And then the last report I had, he turned out to be a preacher in the Baptist organization. And I was just so thankful for that. Sometimes you just need to tell somebody, look, I believe in you. You can do this. You can make it. And so Jesus, he told him, he said, if you don't believe on me, believe on me for my work's sake. He said that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me. But ye believe not, in the 26th verse, John 10, he said, ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never be plucked out of my hand. And then, of course, in the 30th verse, he told him, he said, I and my Father are one. And that made them mad, and they wanted to stone him again. And Jesus, he was trying to reason with them, but they were unreasonable. And so he found himself in a situation where the Jews were so mad at him that they wanted to kill him. And Jesus, he was exasperated, I feel like, as I read this. In the 34th verse, he said, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? He's trying to reason with them. They said, you know, their words said, we are gods. Jesus said, okay, you say you're gods. I say I'm the Son of God, which would make him less. And they still got mad at him. He was a bit exasperated with them, Brother Daniels. And he said, but if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. Now notice this next verse. And went Jesus escaped out of their hands and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all the things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Now, Jesus, I just want to illustrate this point. Jesus was reasoning, he was trying to reason with these Jews, and they got mad at him. Everything he said, they wanted to stone him. He said, I'm the Son of God. They got mad at him. He said, I healed a man. He healed a man on the Sabbath day. They got mad at him. He was doing all these things, and he couldn't please them. And so much so, when they wanted to stone him, he had to get out of there. I don't know that he was running for his life, but he probably was, the truth be told. But notice where he went. Where did he go? He went back to the place where he was baptized. And what happened when he was baptized? When Jesus was baptized, I should have found that scripture. Here I am about to make my point. I don't remember where it was. John 1, isn't it? Oh, have mercy. Yeah, John 1 and verse 29. And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. So John believed in him. Remember? And they said, the people said that John believed in him. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I'm come baptizing with water. So, I'll be dog. In the 33rd verse, he said, But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So, here we go. Matthew 3. So here Jesus was. He was ridiculed. He was being stoned. He was about to be stoned, and he went to the place where John baptized him. Matthew 3, verse 13, said, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said him, Suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Here Jesus was. Even Jesus needed somebody. He needed to know that somebody believed in him. And that was his Father. We all need that. We all need that affirmation. We all need to know you're doing a good job. We all need to know that there's a gentle pat on the back. Say, well done. We all need to have that confidence, Brother Weiniger, that even though Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, he still looked ahead in time and saw you. Saw that little boy growing up in Missouri that needed the gift of the Holy Ghost, that needed to find the body of Christ, that needed to have a conviction in his life. Even though you didn't get it till years later, you still pursued the Lord. Like you still sought after him like that little woman. You still pursued him, and you still knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked. Even though it took him a little while, Brother Weiniger, to get the Holy Ghost, you didn't let it stop you because somebody kept telling you. Didn't somebody tell you that night even? That's what I thought. Somebody asked you to come up for prayer that night. It's 10 o'clock and everybody's ready to go home. You asked, okay, at the last moment. All right. I'm trying to get my story straight. Speaking in tongues 2 hours later, he said. We all need to know that somebody believes in us. I'm sorry, my point here was a little disjointed. I got lost between 1 John and Matthew 3. I know that wouldn't happen to y'all, but it happened to me. But here he was, Jesus. He was afraid for his life. The Pharisees were mad at him. He healed a guy. The guy's parents didn't even believe in him. What did he do? He went back to a moment in his life where somebody believed in him. Do you believe in this church? Do you believe in each other? I know we just came out of a meeting, and I know that we believe in each other because we work together. And you know, you never know somebody until you're in the heat of the battle. Find somebody and let them know that you believe in them. Let them know that, hey, I just want you to know God loves you, even in your circumstance today. Even if you're blind, even if you're halt or lame, even if you're sick, God loves you. Even if you're feeling down or disappointed, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And we diminish that 1 John or John 3:16. We make it so, for God to love the world. We totally just, that's just such a Babylonian. And we just leave that scripture off way too often. But the truth of the matter is, it's still true. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, thank God, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. He believes in us tonight. Thank God. I believe in you tonight. My Lord, there's people in this city that believe in this church. They're counting on this church. They're counting on us to have these doors open, to have these lights turned on, to have a band song ready, and have testimonies and song service and prayer and worship to fill the Holy Ghost. There's people that are counting on us. Thank God. I'm glad to be a part of it. Just like we're counting on the ministry tonight as they're meeting together in Duke Coin, Illinois. We're counting on those men to touch God. We're counting on those. We believe in those men. I do. I have confidence in the ministry of the body of Christ. I'm counting on them to come together in the spirit of unity and truth and to work out whatever differences that they may feel led to work on. I'm counting on that, Brother Caleb. I'm counting on us to work together as children of God. That's our responsibility. I'm counting on this people, this message to go forth and to rise, like the shining of the sun, like a lighthouse in a dark world. Praise God. I believe in what we're doing, and so I'm happy tonight to be here. I'm happy that I found this way. I'm thankful that the Lord reached down his hand and touched my life a long time ago, and I'm learning. I'm learning how to be more loving and kind, and I have differences. Sometimes they're made obvious. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes you make choice, and you don't realize that choice just excluded somebody. You don't mean to do that. God forbid that. I've already said that. If somebody intentionally offends a little one, whew, I wouldn't want to be in that category. I wouldn't want to have that kind of motivation to be an offense to anybody. But sometimes you are. So it happens, doesn't it? God give us the charity that we need to work together, to love each other, even in spite of our differences. Let's believe in each other. Let's believe in this message. Jesus said, if you don't believe me for my works. If you don't believe my words, believe me for my works. I'll say this, somebody said, if you can't love your wife for if you can't love your wife for being your wife, then love her for being your sister. If you can't love her for being your sister, then love her for being your enemy. You're supposed to have a heart full of love. Isn't that the truth? Praise God. Well, we're in a good place here, and this is, we're, even Jesus needed to go back and remind himself. He went back, they were, all them people were mad at him, and he went back to the place that he was baptized, and he reminded himself of what God said. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Has the Lord spoken to you? Do you remember that time that God spoke to you and called you to salvation? How old were you? How old were you? Where were you at? How did it make you feel when you knew that God made choice for you? Wow. It's a wonderful feeling to have that confidence. We might go to prayer here tonight and receive an offering, and we'll close with that. We want to continue to pray for Sister Inez Watson, and that God would have mercy on her circumstance and her, give her grace in this time of need. Brother and Sister Crow, to remember them. Brother Ron Garner, some of you may know him from Oklahoma City through the years. He's in Godfrey now. He's still in the hospital, it's my understanding, with some major heart problems. Let's remember him and their family. Are there any other pressing needs? Brother Al, special unspoken request. Brother Fisher. Brother Fisher. Okay, I remember Sister Fisher and Brother Dodson and the Dodson family. Okay, Sister Bryant, Sister Thompson. Remember Brother Thompson in this heat. It's going to get even hotter in the next few days. All right. Brother Daniels, did you have your hand raised? No. Brother Stewart? Okay. Okay. All right. Very good. Just remember Sister Donna as well and her circumstance. Unspoken prayer requests. I know that the Thompson family couldn't make it tonight. Let's remember them, Brother Anthony and Sister Jamie. Any other prayer requests? No. The ushers have come forth and take these knees before the Lord and ask the Lord to bless this offering. Praise God. If you all stand. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your grace tonight. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the peace that only you can bring. Thank you, Lord, for the confidence that you've expressed in us, your willingness, Lord, to lay your life down for humanity, for even the most vilest of sinners, oh, God. We're thankful, Lord, that you looked ahead in time, that you had mercy upon even the Gentile people, dear God. You loved us and said, and gave your life. You said that we're your sheep, oh God. And we want to hear your voice, and we want to follow you into green pastures, dear Lord. We trust you tonight, Lord, with our lives, oh God. You're our hope, our refuge. Praise God. You're our strength, oh God. You're our shelter in the time of trouble, dear Lord. We bring our loved ones before you tonight, those that are sick and afflicted, those that are discouraged and disappointed with life, Lord. We pray that your spirit would reach down in their circumstance, in their bedroom, in their wherever they are, on their job or in their home, dear God, that you'd touch them, Lord, with your spirit like nobody else can. Oh, God. Oh, God, the healing power that you can bring like no other can bring, dear God. Lord, we trust you tonight, and we pray that you'd have mercy on our friends and our families, our loved ones, even our enemies, oh, God. Jesus, let the Spirit of God reach down, Lord, and help us, oh God, to draw closer to you, to bring healing and peace in our life. Bless the ministry as they're gathered together tonight in Illinois, oh God. Let the Spirit of God be rich among them. Let the word of God come forth, dear Lord, and give them revelation and truth, dear Lord. Give us direction and light in this dark world. Hallelujah. Bless this offering, dear Lord, and use it for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus says I can, woo, okay, let's do this. If Jesus says I can, if Jesus says I can.
Tell me, and I can make the bride.